My name is Mebeline Holloway. I live in Suwanee County, Route 5, Box 127, Lake City, Florida.
So, you said you're about 20 miles from Lake City here?
Something like that.
Does this community have a name?
Well, it's called the Ranchettes.
Ranchettes?
Mm-hmm.
How did this, that name come about?
Well, I don't know. We just saw it in the newspaper, and we sent for the contract, to buy it.
Yeah.
And that's what it's called, the Ranchettes, Suwanee Ranchettes.
Did you always grow up in this area?
I'm born and raised in Miami.
Uh-huh.
I learned how to do pine needle crafting in Miami about 20 years ago.
Who taught you that?
I don't know the lady's name. She's from the north, and she comes every winter to Miami, and she does all her pine needle work, picking up the needles, and she does as much as she can do while she's here or in Miami. Then she goes back north and she sells all her work and gives it to the church.
That's interesting. And how did you meet her? Was it through the church? Or did she
No, just a friend. Uh-huh. My sister-in-law lived in the same trailer park that she lived in.
Uh-huh.
And she taught her, and in turn she taught me. And sometimes I could go over and she could teach us both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you describe what kind of needles do you use and how do you
yarn them? Needles.
I mean, what kind of pine needles?
Oh, long leaf pine needles.
Uh-huh. And is there any certain time of the year that do you pick them off the tree or what?
No,
you
have to wait till they fall.
Uh-huh.
They have to be the dead needles. You can't
uh-huh.
use the green ones because they're not shrunk, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
If you use a green needle, whenever it dries, it leaves a space where you've sewed.
Mm-hmm. I see. I guess it shrinks up and then.
Mm-hmm. And in time, the needles get darker
uh-huh.
as you go along. Time goes by,
uh-huh.
the needles.
So when do you go out and collect your needles? Can you do it any time of the year?
Twice a year when the needles fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're beginning to fall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll put on new growth, and then in the fall is better, really, because they've had a period of growing. That's just my opinion. Now, everybody has their own opinion that does this. And you pick them up one at a time, and you clean them one at a time.
How do you clean them?
Take the barbs off of them
mm-hmm.
that comes off the pine tree.
Mm-hmm.
They're put together. Some's got three, some's two, and I have a tree that's special to me because it has five.
How do you get the barbs off?
Just take it off with your fingernail.
Just scrape it shy?
Just take a hold of the end of it and pinch it right off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your pine needles ready to use.
How many do you collect at a time?
As many as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
I have the kids working for me and everybody working for me.
Do you put them in big plastic garbage bags or something? Or
No.
How do you bring them home?
Have them in the rubber bands, and then when you clean them, you roll them up in the paper, keep them straight so they don't curl as they're drying.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not completely dry.
Uh-huh.
And then if you have to make something square or bend it in any amount of things, all you got to do is put it in water.
I see.
You can soak it in water overnight, or you can just wrap it up in a towel overnight, and you can make square objects. You can make any kind. You can tie it in a knot.
Because the water makes it easier to work with
mm-hmm.
that way? Do you always soak it in water before
no,
you start
no.
working?
If you're making a tree or anything like that doesn't have a whole lot of sharp bending to it, you can just do it dry.
Mm-hmm. So these needles are about, 12 or 14 inches long?
Mm-hmm,
is this
about
an average length for them?
Yes, this is. I have some a lot longer than that. It comes off the pine trees in the back. With one tree.
Isn't that funny?
It is, real.
Yeah.
Used to, when we first started, we'd take a lunch, and we'd make an all-day outing of it, just going out and collecting the needles.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm real fortunate. I get them right out of the backyard.
Yeah,
I don't have
great.
To go anyplace.
Are long-leaf pines getting scarce in Florida, or are there still plenty of them around?
Well, as far as I know, there's plenty of them around.
Yeah.
It isn't like they don't plant them like they do a slash pine or pulpwood
yeah.
pines or something
yeah.
like that, whatever you call it. But
yeah.
they do grow plentiful that I know of.
Uh-huh. So you've never had any trouble? Of course,
no.
Now you've got trees in your backyard, but you don't have any trouble.
No, we lived in town when I first started it, and there was very little pine trees around. You have
that
to go out.
That was in
Miami? Mm-hmm. You'd have to go out in the country, mm-hmm. along the woods up there by the lakes or somewhere like that where they'd grow, and you'd sit there and you'd pick all day long.
Yeah.
You made a day of it.
You pick them up one at a time off
one
the ground?
One at a time off the ground. You can't rake them up or anything because it just...
destroys them, I guess.
Well, it points to the end of them here, mm-hmm. and then if a rake would break them in two or make jagged parts on them, and you want them as clean and as neat as you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, when you take off this end like this, this mm-hmm. is the end you put in the gauge, blunt end.
What's the gauge now?
The gauge is a ferrule. I started out with a 22 bullet sawed off. Just take the head and saw it off where it's round. And I taught with straws. I cut straws.
Uh-huh.
And taught the girls how to make them with straws.
Do you use
as
that
a gauge.
To guide it through? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You start sewing and you use different size ferrules. I have a number of sizes, but I think the one standard size, don't know exactly what it is, but I mean there's this real small size and then the next size. And I like the one that's not quite so small, but you can make it any size you want it.
Do you make your own ferrules now? Do you still use the one that's a sawed-off bullet?
No, I've still got that one, but I don't use it anymore because it's too small.
Mm-hmm.
22 shell is just a little bit small, and I use one that's about half again that size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what it is, but there is a size to it.
But do you make those yourself, or do you buy them?
No, I go to the hardware store and buy them.
Uh-huh. What other tools does it take to make the baskets?
A yarn needle.
Uh-huh.
Something with a big eye to it and something short.
Mm-hmm.
The shorter the needle, the better, because it don't stick you and it doesn't... the blunt needle is best, and all you got to do is just pick up your...
go ahead, that's enough.
Just pick up your raffia as you're going along. And the bag I have started now, I've got a tray bottom started mm-hmm. and a bag started. And if you have a number of ferrules, then you don't have to worry about taking them out and putting it in another one.
Yeah.
You just keep it in the same one all the time.
Yeah.
Till you're finished with the article that you're making. And right now, I'm on a tray bottom, and I'm on a pocketbook. And you cover the rings, coffee curtain rings, the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You take and you cover them with the raffia, and you make rosettes out of them.
I see.
And you can put it in any shape you want to.
And then you hook each of those rosettes together?
You hook them together, and you can go around the bag, or you can go in the tray ends or any way you want to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just no end to what you can make out of them. Just use your imagination.
Could you hold that up again and explain to me about the barbs on the end and how you... see if I can get a picture of that.
You clean the barbs one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your... I see this one has four to it. Nope, it's got five in it. See?
Hey, could you hold up that bundle? I'll get a picture of that. So what do you do then after you've collected the needles and you put them in the newspaper to keep them straight and keep them safe? How do you start making a basket, for instance?
All right. You start with a round rosette. Can you drag me that bag right behind you there?
Oh.
My work is in there. This is the bag I'm working on now. And you start from the bottom here.
Mm-hmm.
Different ways that you make it. The bag is oblong, so you wrap this piece here. And then you just turn the corner. And you see, it doesn't matter here. That's going to break, but that doesn't hurt it. Don't really break. And just keep going around. And
what is this piece that's right in the middle of the bottom there. That
wrapped letter. Pine needle.
I see. And that's wrapped with raffia?
Raffia.
So then you start going around and around and you get the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you build up on the sides? Once you've gotten that
up.
Flat.
You go as large as you want it and then you just turn it right straight up to the end.
I see. When you get to an end, you start curving up.
Mm-hmm. Start curving up. And you can make it any height, any width, any size. There's just about anything. You can do anything with them.
Is that going to be a handbag? Or a
handbag like that one sitting over there. Almost like that one. It's not going to have the rings around the side, but it'll have the handle across the top. And it's not going to, the rings will be on the handle like that one over there.
How do you get the different patterns for what you're making?
I draw them.
Well, did you learn those from the woman in Miami, or did you make them up over the years? Or?
There's one pattern of this tray right here I drew from her pattern, the tray she was making. And this
that's
is my daughter-in-law's tray.
And these are the rosettes that you talked about rosettes. With the curtain rings?
And you take one of them and you can start.
Uh-huh.
So you start around this here to make a tray bottom or something round.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now you take these here and you start here. You put them together. And you start on this piece here and just keep going around and around. And you have to make this around these rosettes on the end in order to make it square on the bottom.
I see what you do. That brings out the corners that
mm-hmm.
way. Uh-huh.
Another rosette does.
And how much do you sell a basket like a tray like that for?
Well, this one here would sell for
$10. Uh-huh. And how much work goes into that?
A lot. It depends on the fanciness to the basket as the price you charge.
Uh-huh.
And I would ask $10 for this particular tray.
Who do you sell your baskets and all different things to?
Just anybody that wants them.
Mm-hmm. The people just hear about you
mm-hmm.
and you call?
In Miami, I was continually getting deposits on ladies' handbags when I first started out. I'd had separate envelopes and I'd put the lady's name on it and they'd put a deposit in there. And then as I'd go along, I'd make one after another.
Right.
And then we moved here and I just got out of it a little bit. And then I joined Stephen Foster group and I got started into it again. And that urn you see sitting there, I just sold one for $26, a little bit bigger than that.
Boy.
Was like that,
uh-huh.
Only it had this webbing like this,
uh-huh.
Where you see that green and red on
uh-huh.
top.
I see there.
It was just like that one, except it was made out of pine needles.
So did you get the idea for making it from this one sitting
mm-hmm.
here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got that one. And I'm making this picture here. It's going to be difficult, but I'm going to do that one of these
Ooh,
days.
That's
the good
beautiful.
Lord willing.
That's, is that an Indian design?
Yes, ma'am.
That's real nice.
I've wanted to do that for a long time.
How long do you think it would take you to figure out how to make that?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I've had several people ask me for a plain tray
mm-hmm.
of this here. That bag there is about 15 years old,
it
and
is?
It's had a lot of wear and tear on it, and I've
Boy,
taken the lining out. I've taken out the lining,
uh-huh.
and I've took the repair the bottom
uh-huh.
and the handles, and this is my own personal bag,
uh-huh.
and I just sold a bag like this for $40.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I told the lady that she asked me how much I would charge her for it, and I said I wouldn't make one less than $40. And she gave me her name and address, and I made her one.
Mm-hmm.
And this, the one I'm making now, is going to be almost like this one, but it isn't going to have the rings to it,
mm-hmm.
except for that top.
Why does that last so well? Is it just well made, or?
Well, yes, and it's a little bit of care too. You take and shellac it when you're finished with them. You shellac the bags and the trays and whatever it is that you make and it gets hard.
Uh-huh. I see. What kind of shellac do you use?
White shellac.
Uh-huh.
And you, you take the, you get the shellac and you shellac it, and then you, about once a year you give it a coat of shellac,
mm-hmm.
and it'll hold up.
And that keeps it clean too, I would guess.
Well, yes, it does keep it clean, but you got to brush it too. This, see how dark this is?
Yeah, I can see the difference.
And this here I made recently for, not this Christmas, but last Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This is about a year old here.
Mm-hmm.
And this one here is about a year old too. And you see the difference in the
color.
Uh-huh,
and the color, they really get
the
darker.
Color for those, this is my husband made this one a long time ago. And you see the color to that and
uh-huh.
the color to that?
Uh-huh.
Now those pine needles are real old.
Huh.
But you see the difference in the color of
yeah.
that one and this
yeah.
one.
Yeah, this was a little reddish and this
mm-hmm.
is more got a more gray to it. It's lighter too. That's really interesting how the color changes.
And some people don't like to use the light colored ones like this, but in time they'll turn dark and the raki shows up all the more.
Uh-huh. See if I can get a picture of you with these. I'll cover your house shoes up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good
about
trick.
That.
Your husband made that, but that's
mm-hmm.
all right. Do you have any others? We could just sit down here. I'll just get one quick picture, and then we'll do some better pictures later.
This here is a four.
Oh, that's
a
beautiful.
Four-handle one. Of a lamp there.
Oh, a lamp base.
Mm-hmm.
How about a smile?
I thought you were just taking. A lamp there.
Oh, a lamp base.
Mm-hmm.
How about a smile?
I thought you were just taking these, not me.
Show the woman that makes them. So how did you get the idea to make a lamp base? That's great.
Well, I started making a lamp, and then Christmas come along, and I've made several lampshades for different people.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, I'll make the whole lamp this time, and it's going to globe. It's going to globe out.
Uh-huh.
And Christmas started coming near, and everybody started hauling pine needle work, so I stopped making that and started on Christmas things for people, and
uh-huh.
so I didn't go back to the lamp yet, so I've made that another pocketbook, and I'm starting on this pocketbook. Now, when I finish this, and if no one hollers another bag, I'll finish the lamp.
Lamp next then, huh?
Yeah. It's real nice. I like to do it, and it's interesting, but I have to do it mostly at night.
Mm-hmm.
But,
because you're busy during the day?
Or? Yeah, we're pretty busy. We work, and sometimes we're here and sometimes we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
If I go off anywhere in the car, I take pine needle or take some raffia and some rings and cover rings.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's the slowest thing of all.
You carry that with you too easily.
Okay. And pine needles, they get broken and what have you.
Yeah.
And you don't want anything that's ragged looking in a basket.
Uh-huh.
But while you're making it, it's the most untidy thing you've ever seen.
Is
you
it?
Can, as you can see, you can't
all
cut.
The ends and everything.
Yeah, you can't cut anything until you're finished.
How do you finish it off then? Once you finish the whole pocketbook there.
Well, you have to wind up. See this right here?
Uh huh.
As you go across, and you get about 4 inches from where you're going to wind it off.
Uh-huh.
You don't put any more pine needles in at all. You just let it get smaller and smaller and smaller, and pretty soon it comes to an end, and you can't see it. Sheila?
That's
Sheila?
That crackle, crackle, crackle is going to be on our tape.
Yeah. Get away. But that's how you finish it off, just
uh-huh.
about 4 inches from where you want to quit. You have to decrease just like you increase when you're starting out.
Uh-huh.
You have to do the same thing. Stay out there.
Can I get a picture of you with the, you had one there with the needle in it, threaded up with the raffia?
I'll have to wait for this to warm up a little bit before I take another picture.
Yep, this here is the...
Is that a yarn needle you're using? It looks small. Mm-hmm. But short, I guess, yeah. Yeah. With big eye.
When you're just sewing, you take your raffia and roll it. But if you're wrapping the row solid like I'm doing here, then you don't roll your raffia. You just work with it out straight. And sometimes that creates a problem because you see how it's splitting.
Mm-hmm.
It splits on you. But you, if you just be careful, you can work it on in there all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get that done. Then you take your rings and you put your rings where you want them. And then when the rings is finished, you start in with your raffia. Your solid row again goes on up and makes your handles to the bag.
I see, yeah.
You wind it off. You have to stop at one spot, and then you take it up and go on, complete it with the next spot in different layers. And if you'll notice what I was trying to tell you a while ago, see how this thick this round here is?
Yeah.
Now that's made with a great big ferrule.
I see.
Pull
I
that
see
bag on your... That. All the ferrules is in that box inside that bag there.
Oh.
If you want to see a ferrule, see some of the stuff in there.
This brown box?
Yes, ma'am. There's a jar. The jar's not in here. Little brown jar. And the raffia.
Yeah. Would it be underneath here?
Probably.
Here, I'll bring it over and let you look. I'll mess it up in here.
Really mess it up really good. This won't cut the, this doesn't cut the pine needles like the bullet
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
And this here is the big one now that makes this big one here.
I see. Let's see if I can get a picture of those in your hand.
Wait a minute, let me cut the Sheila. Drink tabs.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm going to take now. I'm going to take a drink tabs and I'm going to cover them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use them on this bag to decorate with.
Now, will that give you the same shape as the rings?
No.
Or will it be a little bit different?
It'll give you a different shape.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be... sort of like a flower petal.
Uh-huh.
It'd be like that.
Uh-huh. It's fatter kind of toward the center. That'd be real pretty like that.
And then you can cover Australian pine cones like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you can make clusters of grapes.
Uh-huh.
Or most anything out of them.
Uh-huh. Now, are these from trees around here, or are they?
I think some does grow here. I've seen in the paper where it was, had seedlings of Australian pines, but I'm not sure that it's the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the real tree that I get them off of grows in Miami.
Oh, I see.
I went to Fort Myers just recently and got some.
An article on making it from pine needles.
This is this one here now came out of the paper from a museum from Indians.
Now, do you know, were the Indians the ones that started making the pine needle crafts in this area?
But this lady here took a page out of a book in a museum. And that's what she came up with.
That's
there.
Her design from that.
Huh. And here's different types of bags.
Uh-huh. Have you ever gotten ideas for your own work from these?
No.
From these articles, or do you?
No, everybody, it's like most anything else. You have your own ideas, mm-hmm. and you work best if you stick to your own ideas and trying
style,
to copy somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather do it anyway than copy somebody else. And I have my own way of stitching it. This stitch is the most common stitch, but I found it's the best stitch.
Mm-hmm. Does that have a name? That kind of stitch?
Not that I know of. I guess it does, but I don't really know about it. But the only stitch I know that does have a name is the one that I finish up with, called a wheat stitch.
Uh-huh. Around the top rim here. Uh-huh.
And you can take each round and backtrack while you're doing it, and you can make a flared stitch.
Uh-huh.
And I have done it, but I don't do it a lot. I don't think I've done it on any of these, no.
Is that the same stitch now that you learned in Miami, or is that your own version of
it? No, I learned this. That's what I say. This is the easiest stitch. And on a bag, I put them kind of close together, as you can see, because a bag gets more wear and tear than a tray does.
Yeah, and we give it more support on the sides, I guess, that way. Yeah.
And then when you line it, if you have rings around it, you can see the lining through those rings.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I try to get a material that's as close to the color of the raffia as I can.
Uh-huh.
And that way, it don't clash with what you're wearing or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And experience is about the best teacher that I know of. Everybody wants to know, teach me the shortcuts of it. There's a lot of shortcuts to it, but you got to find them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, well, teach me this and teach me that. If you can learn to hold them and sew them together, that's the biggest part of your problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about anything else. It'll always come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, if you stick to it, that is. I gave some lessons, and only two women out of the whole, I guess there was maybe 11 or 13, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But only two women made something out of it.
Hmm.
That went on, I mean, it made a basket.
Yeah. Do you think that's because it takes so much time, or it's just they didn't have the patience to
Well, I really
there?
Don't know. They were doing good work, but when they weren't in class, they didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't want to go ahead, on their own. And one lady did, a long time ago, whenever I taught before, she went on and just about completed her basket. And when I taught this time, she brought the basket back and showed me what she had done.
Uh-huh.
And it was real pretty.
Uh-huh.
And she went on and she finished the basket on this course. And then there was a lady that went on and made a beautiful basket similar to this one with a handle over it.
Uh-huh.
Now that basket there, to me, he's not finished, but that's the way my daughter wanted it, so that's the way I made it.
How would it be different if you were to finish it
well,
the way you like
to
it?
To me, it has to have webbing in it.
I see.
And the handles, this here,
would
come around here like this and come up. See?
I see.
But she wanted it different. She wanted it just like that, so that's how I made it. That's her her pattern.
Uh-huh.
She didn't want any webbing. It's a bread tray is what it is. She wants to put a... puts a napkin in there.
And serves bread.
Serves bread in it.
Have you taught your daughter or any other people in your family how to make baskets?
Well, they can do it, but they don't, they're not as enthused about it as me.
Yeah.
My husband now, as you know, he made that tray, and that was when I first started out. He made that tray. And my daughter has wrapped rings for me, and she's cleaned pine needles for me, but I don't know as though she's ever made anything. And that little cart there, I made that when I first started out, experimenting with wet pine needles.
Huh.
And you can see how nice
that really works.
They
well
make a bend in the basket, in the pine needles
That's
when they're
really
wet.
Cute.
I wrapped him in a wet towel overnight. And there's just, I've made plaques to hang on the wall, and I've made vases, I've made candlestick holders, and one of these days I have a special wood, it's sort of an oval shape that I'm going to make a coffee table out of. Whenever I get things fixed in this house like I want them, it'll be old-fashioned.
Uh-huh.
I have everything in here I want old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything modern.
Uh-huh.
And in time, all this stuff will go, and I'll get what I want in
that,
here.
A table sounds like it would be beautiful.
It's the bottom of a basket, a wicker basket.
Uh-huh.
It's about this big around,
uh-huh,
with the holes already punched,
uh-huh,
in it. And it'll have to be about that big around, but I'll find, mm-hmm, something to make it with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll, one of these days, I'll start on it,
yeah,
just to see how it's going to go.
That sounds like a nice
But
project.
I've made several handbags galore. Ladies always wanting handbags, and that's my most popular piece, that and the trays. The four-handle trays, and I've made trays with, like this, with the map of Florida in them.
Oh, yeah.
And you put a star. Well, naturally, the star would be at Miami.
Uh-huh.
And I've had some in Lake Worth. And I was going to have some here with Stephen Foster down there, the memorial,
uh-huh,
White Springs, but I haven't made any yet, but